The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is October Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the September and October issues of Real Simple, an article from foodandwine.com, a recipe from damndelicious.net, the October Food Network magazine, and if we have time, I have something for you from foodbeast.com. But to start off with, we're going to go straight into a recipe, shrimp and brown butter grits. You'll need 5 cups of lower sodium chicken or vegetable broth divided, 2 teaspoons of kosher salt divided, 1 cup quick cooking grits, not instant, 1 pound of peeled, deveined, large raw shrimp patted dry, 2 teaspoons of smoked paprika, 1 teaspoon of granulated garlic, 2 tablespoons of canola oil divided, 1 bunch of scallions trimmed, 1/4 cup, which is half a stick, of unsalted butter divided, 1 teaspoon of lemon zest plus 1 tablespoon of the juice from a large lemon plus more zest for topping, and that's optional, and 1 pint of grape tomatoes. Bring 4 cups of broth and 1/2 teaspoon of salt to a boil in a medium pot. Slowly whisk in the grits. Reduce heat to medium-low. Cook, whisking often until creamy, about 5 minutes. Cover to keep warm. Toss together shrimp, paprika, garlic, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1 tablespoon of the oil in a bowl. Slice the scallions, separating the white and light green parts from the dark green parts. You should have about 3/4 cup of each. Melt 3 tablespoons of butter in a large skillet over medium heat. Swirl until golden brown and nutty, about 5 minutes. Transfer to a heat-proof bowl. Whisk in lemon juice and 3/4 teaspoon of salt. Increase heat under the skillet to medium-high. Add the shrimp. Cook, stirring occasionally until pink and firm, 2 to 3 minutes. Using a slotted spoon, transfer the shrimp to a plate. Reduce the heat under the skillet to medium. Add the remaining 1 tablespoon of oil. Stir in the tomatoes, white and light green scallions, 1/2 cup of the dark green scallions, and remaining 1/4 teaspoon of salt. Cook, stirring occasionally until tomatoes start to soften, about 5 minutes. Pour in the remaining 1 cup of broth. Simmer, stirring occasionally until tomatoes are softened and sauce is reduced slightly, about 5 minutes. Stir in the shrimp, the lemon zest, and the remaining 1 tablespoon of butter. Serve the grits topped with the shrimp, tomato sauce, browned butter, and the remaining 1/4 cup of the dark green scallions, and top with more lemon zest if desired. Now I've got an interesting article about eggs. Things cooks should know. Good eggs. Sure, you know the basics, but with these tricks and hacks, you'll really get cracking. A better boil. The method. Many recipes call for placing eggs in water and then bringing it to a boil. But that can easily lead to overcooking unless you're watching that pot like a hawk. For perfect results every time, start by bringing 1/2 pot of water to boil and then using a slotted spoon, gently lower in the eggs. If any of the eggs reveal small cracks, eat them the same day they're cooked. Reduce heat to a medium simmer and cook for 11 to 12 minutes for cooked through yolks. Remove the eggs with the slotted spoon and place in a bowl of cold water to stop cooking. Refrigerate in the shells for up to 5 days. Stay centered. To get the yolks more centered in the white, if you're making deviled eggs, say, store the eggs with narrow, pointed side down before you cook them, says Lisa Steele, author of the Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook. And for easier peeling, eggs that have been sitting uncooked in the fridge for a week are easiest to peel, since tiny amounts of air permeate the shell and create a separation between it and the membrane. In a pinch, doing the job under running water can also help. Scramble smarts. Here's the method. For classic creamy scrambled eggs, go low and slow. Melt butter in a nonstick pan over medium-low heat. Add whisked eggs and, using a silicone spatula or spoon, move the cooked egg to the center of the pan, allowing the uncooked egg to flow to the outer edges, and repeat. For bigger curds, stir less. For drier eggs, cook longer. But whatever you do, don't keep the eggs on the heat too long. The quickest way to toughen eggs is to overcook them, since they'll continue to cook off the heat, says Allie Slagle, author of I Dream of Dinner, So You Don't Have To. Pull them just before they're cooked to your liking. For a fluffy scramble, shake the eggs in a jar with a lid instead of whisking them in a bowl. The more air you can introduce into the eggs before you scramble them, the lighter and fluffier the cooked eggs will be, Steele says. Jazz 'em up. Eggs are ripe for seasoning before they even hit the pan. For more personality, whisk in a flavor booster like tomato paste, soy sauce, pesto, hot sauce, Parmesan, or finely chopped herbs, Slagle says. And bake it easy. The method. Many baking recipes, especially those that involve creaming together butter and eggs, call for room temperature eggs. And while you may be tempted to ignore that direction if you're in a hurry to get your cake in the oven, it's important not to skip this step. A cold egg will chill the butter in the recipe into clumps, and you'll be stuck beating a rough, chunky batter instead of a smooth one. Room temp egg whites are also better if you're making a meringue for cookies, a pavlova, or a pie topping, since you'll be able to whip more air into them than if they were cold. To bring an egg to room temperature, set it on the counter a half hour before you start the recipe. Temp tip. If you forgot to take the eggs out of the fridge before baking, plop them in a bowl of very warm water for about 10 minutes. Cold when it counts. Need yolks or whites only? Straight from the fridge, eggs are easiest to separate since the yolks are less likely to break. And now from foodandwine.com, USDA approves genetically modified antioxidant-rich purple tomato. Purple-skinned tomatoes already exist, but this new breed is purple all the way through. Everyone always repeats that good things come to those who wait line, but they don't always add that sometimes the waiting can stretch on for ages. In biochemist Kathy Martin's case, it took almost 15 years for a genetically modified purple tomato to receive regulatory approval from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. "This is fantastic," Martin said in a statement. "I never thought I would see this day. We are now one step closer to my dream of sharing healthy purple tomatoes with the many people excited to eat them." Martin and her colleagues at Norfolk Plant Scientist, NPS, have been experimenting with pigment production in flowering plants for more than two decades, and they've spent almost 15 developing this vibrantly hued tomato. According to NPS, their focus has been on anthocyanins, the antioxidant-rich pigments that give blackberries and blueberries their signature shades. Domesticated tomatoes already have genes to produce anthocyanins, but they are not turned on in most fruits, BigPurpleTomato.com explains. By carefully adding two genes from snapdragons that work like on switches, our tomatoes and juice are a rich source of antioxidants because purple pigments are made in the whole tomato, not just the skins. Before you ask, yes, there are already some purple-skinned tomatoes out there, but the pigments mostly stop at the outer layers and don't accumulate in the fruit itself. NPS also acknowledges that you can take supplements to increase your all-around antioxidant levels, but there is increasing evidence to show that they work much better when consumed within foods. And after a regulatory status review issued by the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, APHIS, earlier this month, we're all a little closer to seeing purple tomatoes in the supermarkets or getting packages of seeds for our own gardens. The tomato was modified to alter its color and enhance its nutritional quality, APHIS wrote in its official okay. We found the plant is unlikely to pose an increased plant pest risk compared to other cultivated tomatoes. That means, from a plant pest risk perspective, this plant may be safely grown and used in breeding in the United States. This decision is a big milestone, which brings us much closer to a commercial launch of purple tomatoes. Nathan Pumplin, the CEO of NPS's U.S.-based commercial business, said in a statement, "We are optimistic that we can begin limited distribution of purple tomatoes in the U.S. in 2023. In other words, we're all going to have to wait just a little longer." Now, a recipe from DamnDelicious.net. It's getting chillier out there, and I always like to cook stews and chilies and soups during the cold weather. Here's a recipe for slow cooker beef stew. Everyone's favorite comforting beef stew made easily in the crock pot. The meat is so tender, and the stew is rich, chunky, and hearty. Here's the ingredients. 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 pounds of stew meat cut into 1-inch cubes, kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper to taste, 1 pound of baby red potatoes quartered, 4 carrots cut diagonally into 1/2-inch thick slices, 1 onion diced, 3 cloves of garlic minced, 3 cups of beef broth, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 1 teaspoon of dried rosemary, 1 teaspoon of smoked paprika, and optional 1 teaspoon of caraway seeds, 2 bay leaves, 1/4 cup of all-purpose flour, and then 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley leaves. Heat olive oil in a large skillet over medium heat. Season the beef with salt and pepper to taste. Add beef to the skillet and cook until evenly browned, about 2 to 3 minutes. Place the beef, potatoes, carrots, onion, and garlic into a 6-quart slow cooker. Stir in the beef broth, tomato paste, Worcestershire, thyme, rosemary, paprika, caraway seeds if you're using them, and bay leaves until well combined. Season with salt and pepper to taste. Cover and cook on low heat for 7 to 8 hours or high heat for 3 to 4 hours. In a small bowl, whisk together flour and half a cup of the stew broth. Stir in the flour mixture into the slow cooker. Cover and cook on high heat for an additional 30 minutes or until thickened. Serve immediately, garnished with the parsley if desired. Now, an article called Spilling the Tea. Your favorite hot beverage isn't just for sipping. Whip it into delicious dishes and baked treats. And this is from the September issue of Real Simple magazine. Black tea comes from the same plant as green tea, but its longer drying time means a stronger and smokier taste. Beyond the cup, that deep flavor enhances meat and mushroom dishes. Soak dried fruit, such as prunes or apricots, in brewed tea until soft. Then add some of the liquid and fruit to a meaty stew, like Moroccan tangine, says Mariella Erkins, an Amsterdam-based tea sommelier. The tea also shines alongside dark fruits in baked goods. Add a sprinkle of dry leaves to a blueberry pie or blackberry crisp for complexity. To make a special topper for toast or ice cream, simmer fresh or frozen stone fruit with sugar and a scoop of black tea until jammy. Green tea. Processed soon after harvest, it's bright, verdant, and full of antioxidants. It can add grassy, bittersweet, and buttery notes to sweet and savory dishes. Beyond the cup. Matcha, a powder made from high-quality green tea leaves, dissolves beautifully into cake batters. Add a teaspoon or two to vanilla sheet cake or a classic pound cake for surprising color and sophisticated flavor. Or make a pretty compound butter. Sift a teaspoon of matcha and a pinch of salt into a stick of soft butter and beat until it's a uniform shade of green. Then chill until firm, Erkin says. Put a pat on grilled asparagus or fish. To get a nudge of caffeine, add a spoonful of matcha to morning smoothies, oats, or chia pudding. Earl Grey is black tea flavored with bergamot, a bright citrus fruit. Beyond the cup, when you're making panna cotta, infuse each cup of cream with a tablespoon of loose leaf Earl Grey. Or brew the tea, sweeten it with honey, and freeze it into molds to make ice pops. Simmer maple syrup over low heat with a few tea bags for 10 minutes, then drizzle the sweet and sticky glaze on everything, pancakes, yogurt, even cooked salmon or chicken. Chai is a warming mixture of black tea and spices such as anise, cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, ginger, and pepper. For a bold side dish, cook rice or quinoa and brewed chai, says Olivia Roskowski, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York City. Add a spoonful of dry chai to rice pudding or buttercream frosting. Baking queen Dory Greenspan stirs a tablespoon of loose tea into almond flour dough for chocolate-covered chai tea bars in her cookbook, Everyday Dory. And finally, chamomile, an herbal, caffeine-free brew with a subtle floral flavor, isn't technically tea because it doesn't come from a tea plant, though we treat it like one. Simmer loose chamomile in maple syrup or agave for 10 to 15 minutes, then strain and sweeten icing and cocktails with the syrup, Roskowski says. Use chamomile tea as a base for gazpacho or salad dressing or to steam tender vegetables, like broccoli and snap peas. It adds a lightly sweet and honeyed note that will keep people guessing and going back for seconds. Now I've got one more recipe for you. Classic glazed apple tart. Apples are now in season for the fall, so you should be able to find some tasty ones. 1 1/4 cups all-purpose flour. 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder. 4 tablespoons of granulated sugar. 1 stick of unsalted butter, cubed and frozen. 1/2 cup heavy cream. 1/4 cup cream fraiche, 3 Rome apples, peeled, cored, and thinly sliced, 3 tablespoons of apricot preserves, and confectioner's sugar and vanilla ice cream for serving. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Combine the flour, salt, baking powder, and 2 tablespoons of the granulated sugar in a food processor. Pulse to combine. Add the butter and pulse until the mixture resembles cornmeal. Whisk the heavy cream and cream fraiche in a liquid measuring cup. Add to the flour in 2 additions, pulsing to combine after each. Transfer to a 10-inch cast iron skillet. Press the crust into an even layer, coming 1/2 inch up the sides. Arrange the apples on top in concentric circles, leaving a 1/4 inch border all around. Sprinkle with the remaining 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar. Bake until the apples are softened and browned slightly, about 40 minutes. Melt the apricot preserves with 1 tablespoon of water in a 1.5-quart saucepan over medium heat, about 1 minute. Brush onto the apples and bake until the crust is dark golden and the apples are dark in spots, about 15 minutes. Let cool for 5 minutes. Transfer to a serving platter. Dust with confectioner's sugar and top with ice cream. From Food Network Magazine, to your health. Here's what's extra good for you. Tea time. It's dry skin season, so brew some green tea. According to a new report, the flavanols in green tea can help increase skin hydration and elasticity. The power of mushrooms. Add an extra container of mushrooms to your shopping cart. A recent study found that mushroom consumption may help reduce the risk of cancer, thanks to antioxidants in mushrooms that can prevent the growth of cancer-causing cells. Learning how to cook can be good for your soul. In a recent study, participants who took a 7-week healthy cooking course showed significant improvements in mental health and general health. Dietary guidelines recommend eating 8 ounces of seafood a week, but most Americans consume less than 1/2 of that. Increase your fish intake. Bring on the broccoli. Sure, you can get broccoli year-round, but it's at its peak right now. The cruciferous veggie is a good source of calcium and vitamin C, plus it contains lutein and zeaxanthin, which may reduce the risk of dementia, according to a recent study. Oreo reveals Snickerdoodle as its newest cookie flavor. Oreo took a creative approach to reveal their latest cookie flavor, dropping hints via their Twitter account. If you paid attention and caught it, then you saw that the first word of their last 8 tweets cryptically revealed, "Our next Oreo cookie flavor is Snickerdoodle. And there it is. Oreo's newest flavor channels the holiday vibes early and features the cozy warmth and sweetness of cinnamon spice. Fans can look forward to a Snickerdoodle flavored cookie and cinnamon flavored cream with green and red sugar crystals. The limited edition holiday cookie will be available nationwide while supplies last. Ripe for the baking. Craving banana bread, but don't have any super ripe bananas lying around? Make some. Grab whatever ones you've got, even if they're still green, and place them, unpeeled, a few inches apart on a foil-lined baking sheet, says Kimberly Ho, founder of the cooking blog Kick-Ass Baker. Bake for about 15 minutes at 350 degrees. They're ready when they've turned dark brown or black all over, just as they would on your counter, only way more slowly. Let them cool before peeling them and scooping out the flesh, which will be a bit moist, a bonus for muffins and breads. New on the shelf. Check out these just-released groceries and goods. Chickpeas all around. Chickpeas seem to be rivaling cauliflower as the star ingredient of plant-based foods these days. The nutrient-packed legume has been showing up in all sorts of new places, even pancake mix, cookie dough bars, and yogurt. Whoa Dough is $10 for four at whoadough.com. CHKP plant-based yogurt, $2.50 at chkpfoods.com for buying info. And Simple Mills Protein Pancake Mix, $9 at simplemills.com. Diamond of California Pumpkin Pie Spice Nut Pie Crust. Create a fall pie in a flash with this ready-to-use crust. And Dr. Prager's Perfect General Tso's Chicken Morsels. Find this plant-based version of the classic sweet and spicy dish in the frozen aisle. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Have a great October.